Europe is no longer in recession. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Jonathan Frewin, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Eurozone economy grew in the second 3 months of the year by 2%, according to new official figures. The region had been in recession after economic activity declined in the previous two quarters. Our economics correspondent Andrew Walker reports.
The new figures represent a partial recovery, as the easing of health-related restrictions allowed the resumption of activity that had been curtailed. The growth in the second quarter was especially strong, approaching 3% in Spain and Italy, two countries where the economic impact of the pandemic has been very severe. Portugal and Austria recorded even stronger growth. However, the Eurozone economy is still 3% smaller than its pre-pandemic peak in late 2019, and the two largest individual economies in the region, Germany and France, have a shortfall that's somewhat larger than that. That's a contrast with the United States, which has now regained the lost ground.
Andrew Walker reporting there. Let's take a look at the markets now. Stocks in Asia closed down around 1.8% as the Delta variant of coronavirus continues to spread and a crackdown from China on tech stocks is still causing concern for investors. And in Europe, markets are trading down between 0.5% and 0.8%. The UK's biggest dairy producer, Arla, has said a truck driver shortage has forced it to cut back on hundreds of deliveries, leading to concerns over a possible supply shortage of milk and butter in stores. The BBC's Gareth Barlow has been telling me more.
There's this perfect storm here, really, of three things that have come together. First of all, the pandemic has impacted the number of drivers getting accredited and being able to pass their test to go and hit the road. Due to lockdowns, there's been fewer tests, therefore fewer drivers. There's also then fewer European Union drivers coming across to the UK since Brexit, so that's reduced the number of people coming and working on the roads in and around the UK too. And then some drivers being told to isolate at home as a result of being pinged by the government's Test and Trace app. And that's led to the Road Haulage Association saying that there's over 100,000 driver shortfall in and around the UK, and they're figures that just aren't going to be replaced anytime soon.
And what's Arla been saying about this?
Well, Arla's saying that this is creating a shortfall of products hitting supermarket shelves. For them, it's milk. That's their big thing. They are the UK's largest dairy supplier. And I think it's interesting to think, isn't it, as well, that this is an iron ore, for example. If there's a shortage of people taking it to factories, for example, you just stop mining iron ore. You can't turn cows off. They carry on producing milk. So this has this knock-on effect throughout the industry as well. Farms will be having to dump milk or just pouring it away because there's no one to take it to the supermarkets. The managing director of Arla is Ash Amiramadi.
We would like to work with the government first to recognise it's a crisis. Secondly, there's a backlog of tests for HGV drivers. We want government to work with us to accelerate that. We believe that driving should be recognised as a skilled shortage and therefore open up temporary visas for the industry to be able to bring European drivers back into the country.
Ash Amiramadi there. And is there any indication the pressure is going to be relieved anytime soon?
I think with such big shortfall in numbers, it's not going to be a quick fix. The government's trying to do its best. From its perspective, they have increased the number of hours that drivers can drive for, but that's being called a sticking plaster solution. And we've heard from Ash there that he thinks there needs to be ways you can ease the visas, you can ease the way that people can get onto the roads. But this isn't a thing that's going to happen in days or weeks. This is a problem that's going to take months to try and fix.
The BBC's Gareth Barlow, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Indigenous people in Brazil's Amazon rainforest have long been fighting for their rights, traditions and land. When Jair Bolsonaro became president, though, he encouraged agriculture and mining in the region, increasing tensions between industries and local people. Palm oil production is one of those industries which has expanded rapidly and is used in products from ice cream to biofuels. Some, though, believe the pesticides used to produce palm oil are damaging their health. Benji Guy has this report.
Palm oil production in Brazil has expanded rapidly in the last 10 years, mostly in the northeast state of Pará, bringing it closer to indigenous people's land in the Amazon. They say their health has suffered from exposure to the pesticides used in palm oil production. Investigative journalist Carla Mendes of the environmental news organisation Mongabe went to the Turimariquita Indigenous Reserve in Pará to see for herself.
First of all, when you arrive there, it's really shocking because you see palm oil just within a few meters from their houses.
Carla and the Mongabe team made a film of their visit to the Turimariquita Reserve and spoke to residents about the impact of the palm oil plantation.
My aunt's husband died of cancer. We say it's because of the palm oil pollution, because these diseases didn't exist in our village before. We can't bathe in the streams where we and our children used to bathe in anymore, because now the water makes our skin itch. We have a lot of headaches in the summer because that's when they apply the pesticides.
Since 2014, federal prosecutors have faced a legal battle to approve a forensic investigation into pesticide contamination and the environmental health impacts of palm oil production next to the Dore Mariquita Reserve. Felicio Pontes Jr. is one of those prosecutors.
I think that we fail because a general thought in Brazil that the oil palm company, it's not something that's causing contamination. It's something, it's a kind of a green industry in Brazil.
Brazilian law requires a buffer zone of 10 kilometers around conservation areas, but this does not include indigenous reserves. Here's Felicio again.
But if we prove that this contamination came from a palm oil company that is very close to the indigenous reserve, I think that they are going to say at the end that we must have in Brazil a protective belt as we have in cases of a national park.
Federal prosecutors have appealed the latest denial of a pesticide contamination investigation, and their case will next be heard in Brazil's Superior Court of Justice. I'm the BBC's Benji Guy for Marketplace.
Pressure is ramping up on companies to do more to tackle climate change. More than 50 large investors that oversee trillions of dollars in assets are calling for companies to publish details of actions being taken to meet their net zero commitments and allow shareholders to vote on corporate plans as a form of accountability. Before we go, a quick reminder, you can download our podcast at marketplace.org or via your usual platforms like Apple or Stitcher. In London, I'm Jonathan Frewin with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.